Looking a little bit different on the screen because we are trying to figure out how to do this for when we all come back together again. So this is our first attempt to learn how to do that. So bear with us. Hopefully everything will be fine. And as we continue to celebrate the resurrection of Jesus, we continue to say to each other, Christ is risen. He is risen indeed. Hallelujah. Let's begin with our first song.
Thank you. Because Christ has triumphed, we are able to gather in his presence this morning in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. Christ has risen from the dead. Alleluia. God the Father has crowned him with glory and honor. He has given him dominion over the works of his hands. He has put all things under his feet. Alleluia. Alleluia. With these words of joy ringing in our ears and in our hearts and in our minds, let us now confess our sins to God, our merciful Father. We'll begin with a few moments of quiet for personal confession. And now let us pray and confess together. Almighty God, Father of my Lord Jesus Christ, my Creator and Preserver, I admit and confess my sinfulness. I am stained by sin from my very beginning. I have sinned again and again in thought, word, and deed. I have not loved my neighbors as myself. I have turned away from others in my thinking, speaking, and doing. I have done the evil you forbid and have not done the good you demand. I do repent and am truly sorry for all of my many sins. Have mercy on me, gracious Father. Forgive me all that is past, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, direct my life so that I serve you in true faithfulness. Grant me victory over all that oppresses me, and build your kingdom here through Jesus Christ, my Lord. Amen. Brothers and sisters, in his boundless mercy, God has promised forgiveness of sins to those who repent and turn to him for restoration and renewal. Therefore, as a called and ordained servant of Christ, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God keep you in his grace by the Holy Spirit. Grant you a life on earth in which you tell of his greatness through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Thanks be to God. Assured now of God's forgiveness complete and total, we are free to share with each other his peace as we say to each other, the peace of the Lord be with you and also with you. Amen. Let us pray. O God, through the humiliation of your Son, you raised up the fallen world. Grant to your faithful people, rescued from the peril of everlasting death, perpetual gladness and eternal joys. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, as one God, now and forever. Amen. We now continue our service with the reading of God's word.
The first lesson for this third Sunday of Easter is from Acts, the second chapter. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" Peter replied, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you and your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call." With many other words, he warned them, and he pleaded with them, "Save yourselves from this corrupt generation." Those who accepted his message were baptized, and about 3,000 were added to their number that day. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The New Testament reading is from 1 Peter, the first chapter. Since you call on a father who judges each person's work impartially, live out your time as foreigners here in reverent fear. For you know that it was not with perishable things, such as silver or gold, that you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect. He was chosen before the creation of the world, but was revealed in these last times for your sake. Through him, you believe in God, who raised him from the dead and glorified him, and so your faith and hope are in God. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. For you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, and through the living and enduring word of God. For all people are like grass, and all their glory like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of the Lord endures forever. And this is the word that was preached to you. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And the good news of Jesus for today is taken from the account of St. Luke in chapter 24, beginning at verse 13. Glory to you, O Lord. We are back now on Easter afternoon. Last week we were on Easter Day plus the Sunday following for the story of Thomas. Today, we're back on Easter afternoon. That very day, meaning Easter Day, two of them were going to a village named Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem, and they were talking with each other about all these things that had happened. And while they were talking and discussing together, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were kept from recognizing him. And he said to them, "What is this conversation that you're holding with each other as you walk?" And they stood still, looking sad. Then one of them, named Cleopas, answered him, "Are you the only visitor to Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" And he said to them, "What things?" And they said to him, "Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, a man who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how our chief priests and rulers delivered him up to be condemned to death and crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one to redeem Israel. Yes, and besides all this, it is now the third day since these things happened. Moreover, some women of our company amazed us. They were at the tomb early in the morning, and when they did not find his body, they came back saying that they had even seen a vision of angels who said that he was alive. Some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found it, just as the woman had said, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'O foolish ones, and slow of heart to believe all that the prophets have spoken, was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' And so, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted to them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. So they drew near to the village to which they were going. He acted as if he were going farther, but they urged him strongly, saying, 'Stay with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is now far spent.' So he went in to stay with them. And when he was at table with them, he took the bread and blessed and broke it and gave it to them. And their eyes were opened, and they recognized him. And he vanished from their sight. And they said to each other, 'Did not our hearts burn within us while he talked to us on the road, while he opened to us the scriptures?' So they rose that same hour and returned to Jerusalem. And they found the 11 and those who were with them gathered together, saying, 'The Lord has risen indeed and has appeared to Simon.' And then they told what had happened on the road and how he, was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. In response to the reading of God's word, we confess together now the historic Christian faith as we find it in the Nicene Creed. And at that pivot point in the Creed, as we have been accustomed, we will pause and ponder the mystery of God becoming human. Let's confess together.
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things, visible and invisible. And in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds. God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
We'll continue now with our next song.
My God, my Savior, amazing grace. The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine, but God, who called me here below, will be forever mine, will be forever.
Grace, mercy, and peace be to each of you from God our Father, through Jesus Christ, his only Son, and our risen Lord and Savior. Amen. I'm sure you've probably heard the phrase that goes something like this: every storm cloud has a silver lining. I guess in meteorological reality, if you look up at these really big storm clouds from a certain angle, you can see silver in there, a silver color. That's not what that's getting at. What that's getting at is that in every bad situation or circumstance, something good can come of it, or something good does come out of it. That's that silver lining thing. So now we are still very much in this storm cloud of COVID-19, a global storm cloud that has had and still continues to have a lot of bad consequences. But in the midst of all these bad consequences, people are still finding good things. They are still finding positives in the midst of all these negatives. So, for example, there is a new or maybe deeper appreciation for medical folks in hospitals, the doctors and the nurses and all those who work there. There is a new and deeper appreciation for what we are now calling essential workers, the folks that run the grocery stores and the truck drivers and the farmers and the handlers and so on and so forth. There's a new or deeper appreciation for our first responders, whether they're fire or police or EMTs. There's a new and deeper appreciation for teachers, as parents are finding out what their kids are really like. People are singing on balconies. They're clapping on balconies. They're putting online concerts on. They're making videos and posting them and online chats. We're having online meetings. We're even finding some humor in the midst of all this, which, of course, is readily available on the internet and every so often comes my way. So I'm just going to share some of this, okay? Tomorrow is National Homeschool Tornado Drill Day. Lock your kids in the basement until you give the all clear. You're welcome. I was so bored, I called Jake from State Farm just to talk to someone, and he asked me what I was wearing. In 2019, it was stay away from negative people. In 2020, it's stay away from positive people. The world is turned upside down. Old folks are sneaking out of the house, and their kids are yelling at them to stay indoors. Isn't that right, Emily? Yeah. You think it's bad now? In 20 years, our country will be run by people who have been homeschooled by day drinkers. This virus has done what no woman has been able to do: cancel all sports, shut down all bars, and keep men at home. Do not call the police on suspicious people in your neighborhood. Those are just your neighbors without makeup or hair extensions. Since we can't eat out, now's the perfect time to eat better, get fit, and stay healthy. We're quarantined. Who are we trying to impress? We have snacks. We have sweatpants. I say we use them. Day 7 at home, and the dog is looking at me and saying, "See, this is why I chew the furniture." Does anyone know if we can take showers yet, or should we just keep washing our hands? I never thought the comment, "I wouldn't touch him with a 6-foot pole," would become national policy. But here we are. And there's a few others. We can keep going, but I'll stop. There's even There's even a Christian silver lining to this COVID-19 thing, this COVID-19 storm cloud. And that's exemplified in this next cartoon, which I don't know if we can zoom in real close, but let me read it to you anyway. So there's the devil on the left side saying, with COVID-19, I close down your churches. And there's God on the right side saying, on the contrary, I just opened up one in every home. There's a point to that, because we're experiencing this Christian silver lining here in Good Shepherd. We are now live streaming our services for 6 weeks in a row. And after this is done, we're going to post it to the website. And there's a whole lot of folks that are watching either live streaming or later on in the day on the website or on Facebook. And we've been talking about this for 10 years, give or take. And here we are. We're doing it. I'm not sure if this whole silver lining concept is directly biblical, but it does remind me, and it does smack a little bit of what God does say in Romans 8:28. Some of you know this, the rest of you should know this. We know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him. In all things, God works for the good of those who love him, meaning Christians, meaning even also during COVID-19. This coronavirus. And that's on an individual, personal basis. Romans 8:28. What I love also on top of that is what it says in Ephesians 1, verse 22, which concerns all of us together as Christians, as a church, where God says, God has placed all things under Jesus' feet. So picture a footstool and Jesus on the throne. And he has appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body. Okay? You follow that? What this means is that Jesus' resurrection leads inevitably to his ascension and to him sitting at the right hand of God on the throne with a footstool. And then as he is enthroned once again, as he is ascended, that leads to orchestrating everything to benefit the church. Everything that happens in the world is orchestrated by Jesus at God's right hand for the benefit of the church. And that includes this COVID-19 thing. And one of the ways this is benefiting the church, the way that God is orchestrating things for the benefit of the church, is that a lot of churches are now using social medias in ways they had never dreamed of or in ways they just talked about. Yeah, one day we'll get around to it. In fact, back in March, the volume of churches that came online on that first weekend, I think it was March 22nd, was so great that Facebook couldn't handle it. There were so many Christians, so many churches on Facebook that Facebook was having glitches and problems. And so churches are reaching people they have never reached before, and that includes us. So all of you who are new to us and watching or viewing online, live or later on in the day, welcome. It's good to have you with us. God is, in other words, giving churches a reachable moment to connect with people in new ways, including connecting with new people in new ways. And God is also not only giving us a reachable moment, he is giving us a teachable moment. Concerning what? Well, concerning a lot of things, but what I've been mulling over in my head over the last couple of weeks is that God is giving us a teachable moment to show us how unviable evolution is. The unviability of evolution. I've never really talked about this, I think, directly in a sermon before, like I'm going to do now. But I can't help but see it. And maybe you see it also. Maybe you'll see it when I'm done. I know that there are right now more pressing issues that we have to deal with, like our health and our safety, like our work and our income, like our food and our supplies in our house. I get that. But you know, every once in a while, it's good to take a break from chewing on the furniture and getting up on the balcony so to speak, figuratively, and taking a look at the big picture and seeing what God might be showing us in terms of what's the what are the big things that are going on. And one of the big things that I see that's going on, the big picture, is that evolution is being disproven before our eyes. It's being disproven right in front of us if we will only take a look. How? What do I mean? Well, let's quickly review evolution without getting into the weeds. Basically, in the beginning, there was a lifeless earth. How it got there right now is irrelevant to the conversation, but there was this thing called earth, what we call earth, and it had no life on it. And somehow by accident, unintentionally, life emerged from non-life. Life came from the lifeless. That in and of itself is just a whole mind-boggling thing, but let's pretend it happened. That would mean that initial life was very simple. Like maybe one cell, single cell life. By accident, later on and unintentionally, this simple one cell life mutated into multi-cell life. Okay, that's how that progress is made in evolution, by mutation. And this multi-cell life was somehow more fit to survive. Otherwise, the single-cell life would have continued and the multi-cell life would have died off. That's that whole natural selection thing, okay? So multi-cell life was more fit to survive. That's the mechanism of evolution. Survival of the fittest by means of natural selection, okay? Meaning nature selects who lives, who doesn't. How does nature do that? Well, it's kind of simple. The more fit eat the less fit. Okay? Meaning, according to evolution, death and violence have always been a normal part of life. The less fit, in order to survive, become more fit by mutations. Okay? So, more fit eats the less fit. Less fit becomes more fit by mutating. So eventually, this kind of simpler multi-cell life mutated all the way up into us. We are the most complex life form in the world. We are therefore the most fit, because the simplest is the less fit to survive. The more complex is the more fit to survive. So here we are. It's coronavirus season. We are at the top of the evolutionary food chain. We are the most fit to survive because we are the most complex. And here we are being taken out by single cell, not really living things that are the least fit to survive. You follow? This is a contradiction. This is an evolutionary contradiction, that the most fit to survive are being taken out by the least fit. That just does not work that way. And if you know anything about logic, you know that anything that is self-contradictory is false. Okay? You go outside, not today, but you go outside on a normal day and you say the sky is green. That is a false statement, because it is self-contradictory. So is this one, my favorite. When people run around and say there is no absolute truth. Anybody ever heard that? That is a patently false statement, because that is patently self-contradictory. Why is it self-contradictory? Because when you say there is no absolute truth, what have you just said? An absolute statement. When you say an absolute statement, and the absolute statement is there has no absolutes, you have just contradicted yourself. You have said something that is false. And so it is a silver lining to me that evolution is being disproven before our very eyes as the most fit, most complex life forms, us, are being taken out by the simplest, least fit, quasi life forms called a virus. Secondly, even more gratifying as far as silver lining is concerned to this whole COVID-19 storm cloud that we're facing, even more gratifying than evolution's self-contradiction is this, that as a society, we do not really believe evolution. We don't, as a society. Even though we were taught it in school as if it's a fact. Because, see, here's the proof of that. If we as a society really believed evolution, we would not be protecting the vulnerable. We would not be protecting the elderly. We would not be protecting those with underlying health conditions or medical conditions. Because if we really believed evolution as a society, we would let nature take its course. We would let nature select out the vulnerable, the elderly, and those with medical issues. They are clearly less fit to survive than we are, than the healthy among us, than the younger among us. And if we really believed evolution, we'd let them go. But we're not. We're not letting them go. We are social distancing. We are isolating. We are washing our hands. We are wearing masks. We are building hospitals. We are coming up with treatments. We are coming up with vaccines and tests. Why are we doing all that? Because we really don't believe that the death and the violence of evolution and the survival of the fittest of evolution are normal and right. We believe life has value and meaning in and of itself, not because it survived or it can survive, but because it's alive. And so regardless of what we're taught in school or how we are taught it, we are denying evolution by protecting the vulnerable. Again, it's kind of a self-contradiction. So then the question becomes, if evolution is self-contradictory, if we are denying it by our public policy, why do so many people still embrace it? Why do we still keep teaching it? Why do so many people, quote unquote, believe in it? Notice how you have to believe in evolution. Well, there's any number of reasons, I guess, depending upon the person you talk to. But I think the bottom line comes down to this for most, whether they'll admit it or not. Most of us, many of us, still believe in evolution because evolution really means there is no God. And therefore, I am not accountable to him for my life. I'm not accountable to anybody how I live my lifestyle. Because there's nobody out there that I'm accountable to, because this is all a big accident. Therefore, a lot of people still believe in evolution. What that means is I am the God of my life. I am the master of my fate. I am the captain of my destiny. Remember good old Blue Eyes, I did it my way? I think it was Blue Eyes. And if perchance there is a God, like I hear about in church, because a lot of people who come to church believe in evolution, if perchance there is a God, then his job is just to simply bless me so that I can be the God of my life and the master of my fate and the captain of my destiny. Folks, this is a really empty way of life. This is a way of life that leads to a dead end. It is self-serving. It is puffed up. It is arrogant. It is ignorant. And you still die. And this is what Peter says we have been rescued from. We have been ransomed from. We have been redeemed from. He says, you were redeemed from the empty way of life handed down to you from your ancestors. This evolution thing's been going on for 100 years. generation after generation, teacher after teacher, even, God forbid, parent after parent. We have been rescued from this, redeemed from this, ransomed from this emptiness. How? With the precious blood of Christ. With the precious blood of Christ shed on the cross in his suffering, in his death, and now we celebrate his resurrection. It is through the life and the death of the now living Jesus that God has claimed you for himself. He has ransomed you. He has freed you. He has set you free. He has broken the chains of such an empty, arrogant, ignorant way of life to live a life higher than just survival of the fittest, than just what's on your table or what's in the bank or what's in the yard or what's in the garage. He has ransomed you and rescued you and freed you to live a life of creativity, a life of compassion, a life of service, just as Jesus did and still does in you as a Christian, because you are his body. You are his body. You are his flesh and blood in this world. So the third and final silver lining to me of COVID-19 is this increased opportunity we have as people, and especially as Christians, to live creatively and compassionately. The creativity is that image of God that's still inside of us that we are showing, because God is our creator. And this compassion that we have as Christians is the image of Christ specifically, who walked among us and still dwells among us. And what we know of his life on earth, it was a life of compassion. The only people that did not get his compassion were the people who were arrogant. Check it out. That's the life we have been called to. That's the life we have been redeemed for. We have been redeemed from empty, arrogant, ignorant lifestyles. We have been redeemed and freed for a life of creativity and compassion, following in the footsteps of Jesus. And God did this by his suffering and by his death and by his resurrection. And now he has claimed you as his own. And I pray he helps us and you live that freed, ransomed, redeemed life of creativity and compassion to his glory and to the benefit of our neighbor. Amen. At this point in the service, we would continue with our offering. So I'll remind everyone again of the opportunity that you have to give online on our website. If you want to do that now, that'd be fine. Or if you want to continue to mail in your offerings, that's fine. That's fine as well. And we're going to continue with the next song.
celebrate the light. When I stumble in the darkness, I will call your name.
Let us pray. We pray for the whole church, the body of Christ in this world, that the message of salvation may joyfully be told throughout all the world, and the Easter victory of Jesus Christ be celebrated around the globe as people discover a life that they have been redeemed for and the life they have been rescued from, and that they may live it to the glory of God and to the benefit of their neighbor. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for the nations of the world, that the governments of all nations be a source of blessing to those who are governed, and that oppression in all forms be hindered. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for ourselves in this season of our Lord's great victory, that we truly be Easter people all year long, radiating the light of Christ in our homes, in our workplaces, in our communities. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all those who serve us in their callings, especially for those who deal with special challenges or dangers on a regular basis, even especially at this time, including police, fire, emergency personnel. Also, we remember at this time the military forces of our nation, those who are stationed at home and abroad, and whose efforts serve to defend our nation in challenging times. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for those with special concerns and needs this day, those who are hospitalized, those who grieve, those who are ill, those who are unemployed, the shut-ins, those who care for them. We especially pray for those who are listed in our prayer list and for those who are near and dear to us in our hearts, as we mention their names now, either quietly or out loud. Bless them with your presence, gracious Father, and with your redemption, that they may have a sense of victory in their lives, and that they may have strength and hope for each day as you give it to them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, we bless you for having placed into our lives faithful Christian people to guide us. On this day, we remember those no longer among us on earth who have completed their earthly race and have won the final victory in Christ. Lead us to follow in their way, that we may rejoice together eternally at your table and in your mansions. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. All these things and all those things that we have not asked when we need to ask, and all those things we do not know how to ask, we commend into your hands, Lord, trusting in your mercy, asking in the name of Jesus and for his sake that you be gracious to us, and using the words he himself taught us, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now the Lord bless you and keep you, and the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you, and the Lord look upon you with his favor and grant to you his peace. Amen. And after our closing song, there'll be a few announcements. This is the third time we're going to try this song, so hopefully it'll work.
Blessed be your name in the land that is plentiful, where streams of abundance flow. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name when I'm found in the desert place, though I walk through the wilderness. Blessed be your name. Blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name when the sun's shining down on me, when the world's all as it should be. Blessed be your name. Blessed be your name on a road marked with suffering, though there's pain in the offering. Blessed be your name.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.
Thank you for joining us again this morning or whenever you're going to be watching this. We have a couple of people actually sitting here, too. It's kind of nice. We're all distanced, so don't worry about it. April Mission of the Month kind of wraps up today as our last Sunday of April is today for St. Gregory's. I'm not sure what we're going to do for May. We had hoped to be back together again, but obviously we're not going to be for a while yet. So I'm not sure what the main Mission of the Month situation is going to be. But for April, it is St. Gregory's Pantry, as we're calling it, even though it's closed. But St. Mary's is taking over the responsibilities. That's the host church there. We're obviously continuing to live stream, and we're going to continue to live stream even when we get back together. And we're also posting the services on Facebook. Just want to make sure that everybody knows that. Did we do the portals of prayer yet? Okay, sorry about that. The portals of prayer are available. I have some. If anyone would like a copy, I'll be happy to mail it to you, or you can stop by. Just call me first about that. And then, not sure how long we're going to be still apart. So one of the creative things maybe we could do is if you folks want to send in some photos, whether they're selfies or, what do you call it if it's not a selfie, like a photo? Anyway, of yourself, of your family, a little sign, we miss you, we love you, we're okay, hope to see you soon, things like that. And then during the announcements, I'll be happy to pop them on the screen, okay? So send them to the gathering team email, which is just the usual six letters, GS, PP, and J. And then gathering team, no, it's dot gathering team, sorry, GSPPNJ, dot gathering team at gmail.com. And we'll try to get some pictures up from folks at the end of the service during the announcements. Okay? Huh? Or you can send them to me and I'll forward them to gathering team. Yeah, because now that I know how to forward. Okay. Before we go our separate ways truly into the world for the week, let's remember a couple of important things, like, who are you? I am a disciple of Jesus Christ. Why are you here? To know him and to make him known. That's that whole compassion thing. And then where are you going? We bring the compassion of Christ to people so they can live with hope and joy. That's what the image of Jesus in you looks like. So, knowing and believing and living these things, let us now go in peace and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Do you have